Amen. It's good to be back. Good to be here. And many people have asked. I am doing much, much better. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers and all this week. We have several people that have been affected and sick this week. Some that are still out today. So we want to continue to remember those as Kevin did in his prayer a while ago. This morning, we're in the third week of a series of Live Like You Mean It. And today's title is Living for the Ripple Effect. And we talked the first week about why am I here? What am I here for? And talk about that. You're here to fulfill your purpose from God. Last week, we talked about finding that niche, that one special niche that God has for each one of us in life. And what are we to do with that niche? And so hopefully you've prayed about that and been looking to that and seeing how God would use you in even greater ways. We'll be looking at Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 28 this morning. And you can be ready for that. I'll read that in just a couple of minutes. But, you know, we all know that you can imagine where I'm getting the title from, Living for a Ripple Effect. If you drop a small stone in the water, you know what happens. That stone disappears, but that one small splash creates a ripple effect of concentric circles that affects all the water around it, and it continues as it moves out, affecting the water. What happens when you drop several stones in the water? Actually, the ripples from the different stones can intersect, creating small waves that begin to affect and move a much larger surface of the water. And this is the nature of leadership. It's the nature of the Christian life. It is the nature of influence. And it is what you and I as believers in Christ have been called to do, to create ripples and the ripple effect, to live for the ripple effect. Jay Addington writes and says this. He says, the most important work that you and I as Christian believers can do is create ripples for Him. To create that ripple effect in the lives around, the water of the lives around us for Christ. Our scripture this morning, as I said, comes from Acts chapter 9. This is right after Saul's conversion to Paul, before he was actually named Paul. And as you know the story, he was on his road to Damascus. He was persecuting Christians, anybody who believed in Jesus. He was persecuting, putting them in prison. He even held the cloaks and stood there as they stoned Stephen and perhaps others of people that were called of the way back then. And then God just floored him, you might say. Just knocked him down on his road to Damascus as he was going to arrest more believers. And this is as he's in Damascus and he's recovering from what had happened to him, and he's just learned from Ananias what God wants him to do. And so we're going to begin reading with verse 19 of Acts chapter 9, and this is what it says. It says, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priest? So he's coming to imprison him, take him back to the chief priest. But Saul, it says in verse 22, but Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days have passed, the Jews plotted to kill Saul, but their plot became known to Saul, so they were watching the gates by day and by night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he, being Saul, had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went out in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Father God, thank you for this, your word. Now, Lord, as your Holy Spirit is our teacher, we pray that your Holy Spirit has the freedom right now to teach each one of us from this scripture, both from the words that you've given me and the words that will be spoken, but mainly from your Holy Spirit's own words as you speak to each one of our hearts this morning. Lead us and guide us in understanding what this scripture means in our life and how you want us to live because of this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if Barnabas had not come alongside Paul when the other believers feared him, feared Paul or Saul in Jerusalem, then Paul's ministry might never have gotten off the ground. If Barnabas hadn't been there in Jerusalem, Paul's ministry likely might not have gotten off the ground. Now, God is God, and he would have made it happen some other way, but God used Barnabas. And so I want to say our first point this morning is exercising brings greater strength. Exercising brings greater strength. In Damascus, Paul was causing a ripple effect. He was stirring the waters there among the Jews in Damascus. And look at what happened to him, to Saul. Verse 22 says, "But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is Christ." Now, for a man who had just weeks before, or days before, had been saying that you're hypocrites, you're liars, and you're false, now he's saying this Jesus is the Christ. It's a big change. Paul was gaining in strength, it says in that verse. It's talking about spiritual strength. Yes, he was taking in food. He was gaining his physical strength too. But this is talking about him gaining spiritual strength to understand and to take on what God has him to do. This is a spiritual strength. It's wisdom. It's a voice to be heard. And you and I have a voice like that too. The more, what we need to understand from this is the more that Saul shared with others, the more his spiritual strength increased. The more he shared, the more God gave him the strength to do it even in greater numbers and greater ways. This basically is a principle of life, and it carries over in all areas of our life. Runners know this. You do not decide to run a marathon on Tuesday and then get in the race on Saturday and run a 25-mile marathon. It just doesn't work that way. You can't. It takes months of building your strength and your stamina before you can run a 25-mile marathon. Weightlifters know the same thing. They don't go out, and the first day in the weight room, they don't go out and lift their body weight over their heads. It takes months and even years sometimes to build up to that amount. You have to lift your strength. You have to work to your strength. It takes time to reach that level. Most everything in life is this way. If you want to do well at anything, you must exercise. You must practice. You must learn. You must do whatever it is physically, mentally, or spiritually. If you want to grow, if you have spiritual goals, you have mental goals or education goals, you must exercise and grow into the strength of accomplishing that goal. And along the way, you make ripples. And the more effort you put into it, the larger, the stronger the ripples you will cause. The more, the stronger the ripples you create. Ripples that extend beyond you and beyond your reach. And I believe that's what God calls us to do. And I think there's a great lesson here to be learned for us all. The more that Saul shared, the more his spiritual strength increased. And that's what we're called to do. If you want to grow in your spiritual strength, yes, you attend Bible studies and worship. You come together with other believers. But if you want to grow in your strength, what you want to do is to practice what God has given you. I heard a pastor a couple of years ago said someone came to him, one of the members of his church, and said, "Pastor, said you're always talking about, you know, we need to be discipling somebody. I've only been a Christian for a month. I don't know anything." And the pastor said, "Well, what have you read in the Bible so far?" He said, "John." He said, "Good, go and share that." See, you've got something you can share. You've got things that God wants you to use to share in your life. And so this is a great lesson here. And the more that Paul shared or Saul shared, the more his spiritual strength increased. Exercising brings greater strength. And then our second point is that greater strength creates longer lasting ripples. Paul's ministry would continue to produce the ripple effect throughout his entire life, with Timothy and Titus and so many others everywhere that he went, where he started churches and where he influenced churches that he started throughout his ministry travels. And actually, folks, Paul's ripple effect continues today. in your life and in my life if you're a believer. This is what makes the Apostle Paul such a great study for us anytime, but especially today. Christ first created these ripples. Christ created these ripples with his disciples, who in turn created the ripples of the Israelites in Jerusalem, creating the first of the New Testament churches. And then these believers continued that ripple effect as they went out to other parts of the country, especially right after the dispersion by the Roman persecution in 70 AD. But then the Apostle Paul was called to take that and make those ripples among the Gentile nations. And as he made these ripples, he went from place to place, and those ripples just continued to grow. And that's what we're called to do as well as we make ripples. Each ripple that you make influences another one and another one and another one, and they keep influencing others as they move out. All of these ripples that we're talking about began with Jesus. They all began with Jesus, and they led to a change in the world like the world had never known. That is the power of ripples and living the ripple effect, as Jesus taught us. And it is the power that you and I have in Jesus Christ. You see, a ripple always influences all the water around it because it's a concentric circle. And so it will always influence all of the water around it. That ripple effect started by Jesus has come down through the centuries, and eventually someone's ripple influenced your life and changed the way you do things. That ripple affected your life, and now it's your turn. And now it's my turn. I want us to see our third point. I'm doing the points real quickly here today. The third point is the ripple effect lives on. The ripple effect lives on. It doesn't stop after you drop that stone in the water. Once a pebble is dropped in the water, it only takes a couple of seconds and that stone disappears. It's gone. You never see it again. But you can see the ripple effect long, long after that pebble has disappeared. What ripple effects are you leaving behind in your daily walk? What ripple effects are you leaving behind? When you walk away from someone, what ripples do you leave behind? Do your friends continue to see the ripples of Christianity after you've walked away from the conversation? You see, folks, God gives every follower of Christ spiritual gifts. We know that. We've studied that. We even talked about that again a little bit last week, I believe. He gives us these spiritual gifts for the express purpose of creating ripples to influence lives. You know, we talk about the only reason you have spiritual gifts is to build up the church, to build up one another. It's not for you. It's not for your glory. It's not for your honor. It's to build up one another. That's how you're creating ripples. By building someone else up, you create a ripple in their life. And those ripples continue to move out. And so we continue to do that with God's spiritual gifts as we allow him to use us. You see, no matter what spiritual gifts you have, you are to use them to influence others in the church and out in the world as you live each day. In some people's lives, you'll only have one opportunity to make a splash. And one splash makes many ripples. And we need to be about making ripples, living for the ripple effect. What will be seen after your life is over? After you're gone from this world, what will be said of the ripples that you leave behind? Will people remember and talk about the ripples you left? You see, folks, you do not have to have a big name. You don't have to have a large platform to create ripples. You don't have to have a platform at all. I like to think that I'm creating many ripples in the wake of my having been able to drop pebbles in many lives around the country as I get to travel and do what God has me doing. I don't have a big name. I don't have a recognized name. I don't have a large organization supporting me. You see, what I have is Jesus Christ. And that is enough. That is enough. In my travels, I'm privileged and blessed to meet people who are making ripples in the waters of life. And that's what encourages me to keep going and to do more and to see more. Many of these people are not well known. Most of them are not well known. They don't have big names that anyone would remember. Still, they're heroes of the faith, making ripples in life where they are, wherever God has them. People like a woman I know named Karen. Karen personally knows the pain experienced by women who've had an abortion. And Karen has started a ministry in her city that is a weekend experience where she brings these women in for a weekend experience with her. It's a weekend experience of bringing healing and wholesome and wholeness to broken hearts. You see, Karen is making ripples in the lives and the hearts that will carry on long after they remember who Karen is, long after Karen is gone, because she's changing the way people think and the way they live. She's making ripples. And then I think of a woman that Pam and I met years and years ago when we were in California. I say years and years ago, probably 15 to 17 years ago. This woman, his name is Becky. Becky has given much of her life, or had at that time and for years, probably, I don't know how much of it she's still doing now, but she's given much of her life for at least that 10 years that I knew her, helping a family with triplets. Now, they didn't just have triplets. I think they had at least five, maybe six children. But one of those triplets had severe disorders, would never walk, would never talk. And Becky was one who just committed her life to that family, whatever that family needed. She probably spent more time with that family in their home than in her own home. Her and her husband did not have children. But she was there for whatever they needed around the clock. Round-the-clock attention for those children, especially the one boy, but so that the parents could help take care of that boy if she was taking care of the rest of the children. Becky treats that young man and his siblings with a love like they were her own children. And she's continued that. They're all grown now. But she did, whether it was at church or in their home or whether they wanted to go on an excursion, they were going out for the day, going on a vacation, Becky was always there. She was making ripples. She was pouring out her life. And Becky continues to make ripples in the lives of others that will last for multiple generations. Because you think about it, that boy will never probably understand who Becky was or what she was doing. But his siblings will. And as they're grown and starting their own families now, they'll tell their children about Becky. They'll talk about Becky to their grandchildren. And it'll carry on. Becky is making ripples and has made ripples in the lives that will last. And not only in that family, I'm talking about her 15 years later. Because she's making ripples that last. Karen and Becky intentionally create ripples as a way of life. There are many people in our world who are quietly creating ripples. Ripples for Christ. Living for the ripple effect. And it is what God desires of each one of us. It is what God desires of you personally, individually. Every one of us sitting here today has exactly what we need to make ripples for Christ. We have what we need. We are surrounded by people all week long, people whom God wants us to influence with ripples in their life by dropping those pebbles into the waters of their life of who God is and the relationship He wants with them. Just like the Apostle Paul. Beginning in Damascus, wherever Paul was, he continually was making ripples in the lives of so many people. Everyone who was around him understood who he was and wanted to see and hear what was going on and what he was talking about. Except those who wanted to have him in prison, but folks, you are no exception. Who has God placed in your life for whom you can create ripples this week? God just laid somebody on most of your hearts just now, if you were listening to him. He just laid someone on your hearts. Someone that God placed in your life whom you can make ripples with this week. You see, the world tells us to pursue big bank accounts and prestige and stuff. You got to get more stuff. We've talked about that in the past. But God and His believers, on the other hand, pursue people, not stuff. Our stuff will not outlast this world. But every human being has an eternal destiny. Either with God in heaven or apart from heaven, with an eternal pain and suffering. and a place called hell. To make ripples for Christ, you must first understand who he is. And you must enter into a personal relationship with him. He wants a close personal relationship with you, with each one. He wants a close personal relationship. He wants to be more than just a friend. It's not a friend relationship we're talking about. He wants you to be in a personal relationship to call him Lord and Savior. You know, I think in today's world, many Christians are willing to say, yeah, he's my Savior. What about Lord? Is he helping us to make decisions? Is he helping you to make all the decisions in your life? That's what it means to be Lord, is I don't make that move without him. Because only then you can and will make ripples for him. Only then, when you enter that close personal relationship, can you make ripples for Christ. We have people in our church making ripples for Christ. I think of the ladies, and this is in my notes. It wasn't because of the video earlier, but I think of the ladies working at the Lifehouse Pregnancy Center. Every person that they meet and that they speak with in that ministry, every person, every life that they touch, they're creating ripples. They go out like concentric circles. And they'll continue, as Mickey said earlier, they'll reach more next month. And those ripples go. Because those ladies that receive those diapers or those whatever it is they're getting over there at that time, they don't forget it when they walk out the door, because a pebble's been dropped. A ripple effect has been created in their lives. And I also think of Judy Kendall, who's actively involved in jail ministry, reaching and teaching in our jails and prison. And I think of the heart that she has for that ministry. Folks, this is living for the ripple effect. There's so many, I could go on and name others and talk about others that I know of, and you know some that I may not know of. And that's okay, because it's okay to make quiet ripples. But the question is, are you making ripples in the lives of the people that God has around you? Are you making ripples in the lives of the people that God has you maybe in touch with only one time? As you go about your life this week, at the gas station, at the doctor's office, you've heard me say it before, at the pharmacy, at the grocery store, wherever you find yourselves, are you making ripples in the lives of people outside the church? We have people creating ripples in our church, and because people that are in our church that are making ripples outside the church. But not all of us are creating the ripples that God has called us to. And to have that living ripple effect as God desires us to. So I'm going to ask you each today, would you consider asking God to make you a stronger agent of care, C-A-R-E, an agent of care? I almost put this on the screen, but I didn't. Creating a ripple effect. Would you be that agent this week, beginning this week and moving forward? To be an agent of care, creating, living to create a ripple effect around you. Mike Landry is a friend of mine. He's just retired as pastor of Sarasota Baptist Church in Florida. And a few years ago, Mike, Pastor Landry, I guess I should call him, but he's a friend, he asked his church members to take a one-week mission trip. He said, I want every one of you to commit to take a one-week mission trip. And I want you to take that mission trip. We're all going to do it the same week, same time. We're all going to do it together. And we're all going on a mission trip to Sarasota, Florida. That's right. They took a mission trip in their own backyard, in their own community. More than 500 people, Mike reported, from the church participated in that first week of February. They had people in nursing homes. They had people building houses with Habitat for Humanity. They had people feeding the homeless, grilling out for men and other different groups around the city. They had people speaking in schools and children, students being saved, coming to Christ. They were providing clothing and hygiene products. And the list goes on and on of stuff that they were doing that one week that he said, would you go on mission to Sarasota? And while handing out clothing and Bibles to the homeless, one woman recounted this. She said she had prayed with a middle-aged man who said he had AIDS. And he asked her, he said, why are you doing here? He asked why I was here. She said, I told him, because Jesus loves you And we do too. And then she said something that really hits home to me. It is my honor to help you. It's not my sympathy. It's not my pity on you. It's not because I'm better than you or I'm greater. It's not because the church wants to everybody see we're doing good. She said, it is my honor. You see, when you put someone else in a place of honor, you are lifting them above yourself. And she said, because Jesus loves you and we do too, it is my honor to help you. Pastor Landry said, we want to mobilize our people to use their gifts to help others. As a result, we hope people will find their own ministry and it will spur them on to do more. That's what I've been talking about since I came here last January. He went on to say, I believe the effectiveness of a church ministry is based more on how many people are on mission in a given week than are in attendance in a worship service on a given Sunday. I like that. I like that. That is so if we would only grasp what that means, it's so true. I believe the effectiveness of a church ministry is based more on how many people are on mission in a given week than how many people are in attendance in a worship service on a Sunday. You see, folks, the people of Sarasota Baptist Church were dropping pebbles in the spiritual waters of Sarasota that week in February. And the ripples of those dropped pebbles continue to affect the lives of people in that community even today, several years later. And they will continue to affect the lives of people in that community for years to come. That's the ripple effect. That's living for the ripple effect. That's what God has called us all to do through Jesus Christ. What is within your grasp? Think about it. What is within your grasp to create a ripple effect in the lives of the people around you this coming week? How will you be intentional? How will you go out of here today? That's what God wants right now. How will you be intentional leaving here today? How will you be intentional about creating ripples, spiritual ripples, in the lives of the people around you this week? You know, think of this. I thought of this as I finished this up one of the days this week. I was working through it. What if you had a testimony to share next week, next Sunday, with your pastoral candidate? What if you had a testimony to share of how Christ used you this week to drop a pebble, creating a ripple effect in Paris and Bourbon County? What kind of impact do you think that would have on him? What kind of impact do you think that would have on Christ's kingdom right here in Paris and beyond? You see, folks, you all have what it takes to make a ripple effect. What kind of ripples are you creating? Are you creating ripples for Christ? Are you living for that ripple effect? And what are you willing to do intentionally this week to create more ripples? Would you stand with me? We're going to enter into our time of invitation. It's our time to respond to what God wants us to do in each of our lives. And so let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the time that we've had together. I thank you for the worship that we've experienced and that we've been a part of. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus Christ giving us the example of living the ripple effect. No matter where he was or who he touched, it created a ripple effect all around him, and it touched everyone around him. Oh God, what would happen if the people here in this room this morning and those who are listening to my voice this morning or watching online, what if each one of us created just one ripple effect for Christ this week? Those ripples would be over interacting with each other and just creating greater ripples throughout Bourbon County and even beyond. Father, help us to be those agents of care, creating a ripple effect in our lives and through the lives of others as you place us this week. Father, there are some that don't have that personal relationship we were talking about with Jesus Christ. I pray that they would not leave here today without making that decision. that they would come forward and let one of us talk to them about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to know for certain that when you leave this earth, you're going to enter into the presence of God for all eternity. Because the only other option that we see, that we know of, is eternal pain and agony in a place called hell. Father, I pray that every person here would respond to you about creating that ripple effect, living like we mean it. We say we're Christian. Lord, help us to live even greater lives than what we've been living, because there's always room for improvement as long as we're breathing. So help us to improve, to create even greater ripples in the waters of life of those around us. Thank you, Father, for this moment. As you speak, continue to speak to our hearts. Father, and may we come to the altar and pray. May we pray for boldness. May we pray for courage. May we pray for one another. Just come and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, but whatever it is, may we pray. And not stand where we're at saying, another time. No, it's not my time. Because you're speaking to each one of us. Because this is our moment. This is our time. So, Father, have your will in my heart and the heart of each person here and each person listening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as God leads you.